Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Money Management, Part 2. In my most recent program, if you were able to listen to it, and if you weren't, might be good to get a hold of. Just the one the other day. But I talked about the five elements and components of positive financial management within a family. I called them the five E's, A, B, C, D, E. Five E's. Now, today what I'd like to do is something just a little different than that, and that is look at the issue of finance within a marriage. And it's well known in marriage counseling circles that people who come to marriage counseling often have a financial problem. Every marriage counselor, every marriage therapist is prepared to discuss financial matters with the couple that come. It's so frequent, it's so common, that counselors are kind of trained in the area of financial management, at least in the basics of it, to help people get on the right track and build their relationship positively financially, as well as in their communication and in all their areas of relationships. But in the marriage, we have a very delicate issue, and that is how you handle your finances. Now let's start with a negative note, unfortunately. Let's start with a negative note. The negative note is this, that something around 15 million Americans who are involved in a serious relationship, marriage or pre-marriage, 15 million commit financial infidelity. And it's considered in the marital world, in the marital circles, in the relationship circles, that financial infidelity is worse than sexual infidelity. So when people have financial infidelity, that means they're going behind the back of the other person, the spouse or the partner. That means they are keeping secrets of their financial holdings or financial arrangements. That means they're keeping quiet and keeping secret on their credit scores. That means that they're spending money without permission or without knowledge of the other person. That means they are carrying on a secret life in the finance world that it will have a devastating effect upon that relationship in due time, and certainly when that financial infidelity comes to light. So it's a sign of serious trouble. If you think of it that way, it's serious trouble in a relationship if the couple engage, either one of them, but certainly even if both of them do, in financial infidelity, a double life, keeping a financial status out in the open, but having one secretive. And that's destructive. But people do it. Now here's a second matter found by the CreditCard.com Association. That people who have high credit scores, that is the husband and the wife, or the man and the woman, if they're not married, if they have high credit scores, they're likely to have a positive relationship and a long-term relationship of a marriage. In other words, a high credit score on the part of both of them indicates that that marriage is likely to be a solid one and a positive one. They're starting out on good track. They're starting out in a good relationship on some solid foundation, basically. So credit scores are important. High credit scores are very important. And if you're looking at marriage, that's an issue to consider. What is the credit score for each of you? And if you're low, that's an indication that your relationship is not a particularly strong and positive one on a predictive basis, and we would predict trouble. Now here's another factor the creditcard.com association found, that whether your credit card already your credit score is high or low, if they're the same, that's a good sign for a relationship. If they're in about the same level, in about the same basis of a credit, that is, they're both high or both moderate, or even if they're both low, but if they're about the same, that's a good sign for the relationship. But at the higher the credit score, and the more likely they're the same, the better it is in predicting that that relationship will be a solid one and one that will in fact last. So we want to look at that credit score as a very positive indicator of a relationship and what's likely to come of that relationship over time. Now, one of the other things by the Credit Card Association, creditcard.com, was that they looked at 50 couples, and they look at their degree of overspending. And those that overspend were not happy. Those that don't overspend tend to be happier of all. So in other words, it's not just whether you have money or not. It's whether you overspend or not. The more likely you overspend, whatever your level of income, the more likely that relationship, the relationship you're in, is a negative one and is doomed. The more likely you are conservative, you both are conservative, you maintain your level of income, and you only spend within your means, that then your relationship tends to be a more positive one and more likely to be a long-lasting one. And here's an interesting point that the creditcard.com association found, is that among millennials, that is young people today, to save and to be very prudent in the gift-giving element around Valentine's Day or Christmas or some other time like that, birthdays and so on, they celebrate the day afterwards when the price comes back down, when it's easier to get into a place and where you're not paying quite the high level of dollar for a meal that you would on Valentine's Day or you would on Christmas Day or you would on your maybe your birthday or an anniversary day or, you know, some special day. In other words, couples that are prudent tend to have a better marriage. And prudent means this, that they watch when they buy things and how they buy things and how much they buy things. And if it's easier to buy something the day after an event and get a better deal, that's what they tend to do. So it's an interesting phenomena that's going on within couples today. They're watching their pennies, and if you do watch your pennies, you're more likely to have a positive and long-lasting relationship. Now, they also found that about 68% of the couples, 70% of the couples, let's just round it off, are happy because they talk about their finances. And they talk openly about their finances. And financial matters are very important to them, so they talk about it. Happy couples talk about finances. Unhappy couples don't. They can't. They fight. They argue. And they don't resolve things. So couples that are positive in their relationship and have a positive potential and future are the couples that are more likely to engage in this mutual conversation over financial matters. So if you can't, talk about something, the financial, if it's a touchy subject, get a third party. Go to a psychologist for marriage counseling and make this one of the topics that you talk about. Get a financial planner and talk about it with a financial planner. Get a financial consultant in some form, various forms, and have them work with you to develop a financial attitude and a financial plan and a financial strategy so that you work well together. Because the better you work well together in your finances, the more likely you're going to work well together in other areas of your life, in all areas of your life, in your relationship. It's an indicator as to whether this relationship has potential, has strength or not. Okay? So there you are. Finances within a marriage. Credit card scores. And get on the same page. Work together. Don't compete. But do not commit financial infidelity or infidelity of any kind. Marriage relationships, family relationships are to be open and honest and free and equal. Because if you're going to be secretive in your finances, you're going to be secretive in other areas of your relationship. If you have a secret life, a double life, you're going to have a double life in other areas of your relationship throughout the relationship. It's going to come up again in the future. We know that the best predictor of the future is the past. So if you're in a relationship and there's a lot of infidelity going on in various areas of life, get out of that relationship. It's not one to behold, not one to be part of. It's not going to be helpful. So be very careful on that, okay? Anyway, nice to talk with you today. I would like to bring to your attention one of the sponsors of our program, the Fresno Rescue Mission. And for those of you who are out of town and outside of Fresno, there's a rescue mission in your area. Support them. Support them. In the Fresno Rescue Mission, for an example, in the last 5 years, they served over 7,000 people with overnight emergency stay. That's a bed and meal, okay? Over 7,000 in the last 5 years. So they really do provide a service. But you know what? They can't do that without donations. All these services are provided because of the donations that people give. Another statistic shows that the Fresno Rescue Mission has served over 1,300,000 meals in the last 5 years. Where's that food come from? Well, it comes from donations, from grocery stores and from people who have food and who can contribute or can contribute money so they can buy food. You see, Fresno Rescue Mission, like all rescue missions, serve a population of the community that nobody else serves. And they are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's a service your community needs, and it's a service that needs you to support them and to encourage them and provide them a few dollars. So the rescue mission in the area where you live, send them a few bucks. They'll appreciate it, and you'll feel good about it, okay? Anyway, nice to be with you. Go to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. There's quite a few books in there. You might pick up one to read in the days ahead of you, okay? Booksbyhedberg.com. Bye for now.